The epistle is from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy. Because in him it hath well pleased the Father, that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Gospel is from St. John, chapter 18. At that time Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have thou others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the life of Blessed Stefana Quinziani, a Dominican nun, mention is made of a religious sister named Paula. Sister Paula died at the convent of Mantua in Upper Italy after a long life of eminent virtue. Her body was carried to the church where the office of the dead was recited. Blessed Quinziani knelt near the bier, asking God to have mercy on her friend, the deceased religious. Suddenly, the dead sister moved. She let go of the crucifix, which had been placed in her hands, and then extended her left arm. She seized the right hand of Blessed Quinziani, who knelt there beside her, and she pressed her hand tightly. This dead nun grabbed her hand, pressed it tightly, as a patient with a burning fever would hold the comforting hand of a friend. She held it for a considerable time, and then, withdrawing her arm, sank back lifeless into the coffin. The other nuns, of course, were astonished at this wonder. They later asked the sister for an explanation. Sister Quinziani answered that while her dead friend pressed her hand, she had heard an interior voice say to her, "Help me, dear sister. Assist me in the frightful torture which I endure. Oh, if you knew the severity of the judge who desires all our love. What atonement he demands for the least faults before admitting us to the reward. If you knew how pure we must be to see the face of God. Pray, pray and do penance for me, who can no longer help myself." Blessed Quinziani, moved by the prayers of her friend, imposed upon herself all kinds of penances and good works, until she learned by a new revelation that Sister Paula was delivered from her sufferings and had entered into eternal glory. Now, in 1925, Pope Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King, which is celebrated now annually on this last Sunday in October. The purpose of today's feast is to acknowledge the kingship of our Lord and to extend his reign in society. Now, Christ is truly a king. He is anointed a king by God the Father. He was announced by the prophets as the King of Israel. And Christ himself often preached about his own kingdom, the kingdom of God, as he solemnly called it. And he declared that he was a king before Caiaphas and Pilate. His kingship has been acknowledged by nations and kings. Souls from every station in life, young and old, rich and poor, have proven their loyalty to him by leading lives worthy of such a kingdom, lives virtuous and pleasing to the king. Now, the nature of Christ's kingdom is that it is a spiritual kingdom. It is not of this world. Our Lord wishes to rule not nations, but rather the souls of men. He wants to be king in our heart. His kingdom is also supreme. He requires the loyalty of our whole being, our heart, mind, soul, intellect, and will. He is a loving king who seeks to win our loyalty, our willing obedience, our generous service. He asks for our complete dedication, even unto sacrifice, even unto death. And we are called to become citizens and soldiers in his kingdom. But to become citizens and soldiers of this kingdom, we must gain it by conquest. It is a conquest, a combat of our own heart, where we do battle against our passions. Christ said that his kingdom suffers violence, and that only the violent bear it away. We must do violence against our own passions, resisting the impulses of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and striving to practice every virtue, especially humility, charity, and chastity. To serve our divine King is to participate in his life, which is a life of grace and of intimate union with God the Father. In the Litany of the Sacred Heart, which I will pray after Mass, we pray, Heart of Jesus, King and center of all hearts, pray for us, or have mercy on us. By his grace, you see, God dwells in our souls. He lives there. Holy Scripture says, the kingdom of God is within you. And our Lord is a jealous king. He wishes to reign completely in our souls. He wishes to influence everything that we do, so that all of our actions and all of our decisions are done virtuously and from a supernatural motive. In fact, he gives us constant actual graces, prompting us to do good, to avoid evil. And if we seek earnestly to cooperate with these graces, we will become saints. We will find joy in serving God and gain an immense reward of glory. But what if we do not cooperate generously and constantly with these actual graces? If we do not do as Christ urges and try to be completely united with him at all times in what we do, then we will either lose our soul or suffer for a time in purgatory. It is a frightful thought to realize that we will answer to God and pay a very strict penalty for every actual grace that we have not responded to. And I'm not speaking here even of sins directly. I'm speaking of the promptings which God gives us, urging us to be less worldly, perhaps, more outgoing in our charity, more reserved in our speech, more generous in fulfilling our duties, in offering up little sacrifices, mortifying our appetite, our desire to speak, or curiosity about seeing things, taking time to pray, to do spiritual reading, to use our time constructively, etc. God gives us the little thought, the suggestion of doing these things, and those thoughts are actual graces. We may look upon these as minor things, unnecessary fine-tuning, things we really don't have to do to barely scrape by and maybe get to heaven. But think of purgatory. Every misspent grace will be answered for in strict justice in the fires of purgatory. One of the things I fear is that even good people will have a lot to suffer for misspent use of their time, for wasting time on frivolous things. How many hours do people spend in front of a mirror or on video games? Recall the story of that religious sister named Paula. She had lived a life of eminent virtue, and yet she was in purgatory. She testified that our divine King desires all our love. How severe is the judge, she said. What atonement he demands for the least faults before admitting us to the reward. If you knew how pure we must be to see the face of God. My dear faithful, learn a lesson from this story. Learn how urgent it is to pray for the holy souls. November is coming up, the month of the holy souls, a time that we should especially be praying for them. Learn how important it is to follow the inspirations of grace on your own part. How many good people ignore God's voice because they do not realize that He is speaking to them. They don't realize that the good thoughts, the impulses or desires that come to their mind are actual graces from God. And knowing this will help you to be more generous in responding to these graces, more aware of them, more alert in the future, and generous in these good impulses that you feel. This is the grace of God seeking to perfect you, because He is present in your heart, living there by His sanctifying grace. Honor Him then as your King. Seek to please Him in all you do, every minute of the day. Be willing to give up all which offends Him, every person, place, or thing which could lead you to sin. Even every frivolous, empty, and useless occupation, worldly literature, magazines, music, and TV. Serve your King by embracing the duties of your state in life. Give Him your time for daily prayer. Seek to cooperate with His grace. By doing this, you will avoid the frightful torments of purgatory. You will fill your hands with merits and thus gain an immense glory in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.